Okay, so let's start the first Mirtz Hashem. Hopefully, we have a series. Supposed to be Chodosani. I know that the Rav's not here, but I wanted to thank him publicly so you can somehow relate to him for allowing us to have the shiur here, and to thank the Gabayim, and to thank Ari for helping arrange it. So, Yishkoyach to all those involved. I wanted to dedicate this shiur to two different people. This today was the yahrzeit of one of the sponsors. Of my sfarim, the Noam Elimelech. So his one of the family. So the person they sponsored it after, Rabbi Vigder. So it was his yahrzeit today. So I'd like to do it with Nishmasoy. His name was. Make sure I get it right. Yechiel Avram Avigder Ben Rebelder Chaim Toiv Melio.
What's the family name?
Glazer. And I wanted to send a virtual thank you to Reb Nechemia and to dedicate the shiur also to Reb Aryeh. The Aryeh Mund Foundation, they're very kind that they're hosting my shiur online on TorahDownloads.org. So if you want to download the shiurim in the future, you can go there and visit it and Yemei Tzashem download the shiurim. So hopefully the format of the shiur in the future will be a bit different. I'm going to choose Mirtz Hashem different Chassidish Sfarim on the Parsha. But because we're about to go into Rosh Hashanah and it's still Chodesh Elul and we still have a bit of the end of the year to get something out of it, so I was hoping we'll speak. We'll do Mirtz Hashem one of the Chassidish Sfarim too, but we'll speak in general about his Hisoirus and about Tshuva. And I thought we'll speak about the three things that we talk about in Nisan HaTekef, right? Tshuva, Tfilu, Tzedakah, and maybe put a bit of a different twist on them. But first of all, around Lag BaOmer time, I was invited to England to speak, and I had an interesting experience over there. You know, I walked into Heathrow, and I've never been to England before, and it's a massive airport, and you're laughing, I guess it's an understatement. It's pretty big. And I came up to the guy in charge, and he was a gingy like me, but I don't think he was Jewish. But he was very friendly and very nice. And he asked me, what are you here for, pleasure or business? So foolish me, I decided to tell him, I don't know, I guess like a mixture of both because I'm here to sightsee. It's my first time in England. But I was invited to speak. Are they paying you? So I said, I hope so, but we didn't actually make any arrangements about that. So he said to me, one second, what's the name of the congregation? So I told him. And then he said to me, do you have any type of letter introduction? And I didn't. And he said to me, okay, sir, please follow me. And I said, oh, no. What a mistake did I just make. You know, everyone's going to tell me, you fool, why didn't you just say you came for a vacation? Because I was being honest. Anyway, so he says, follow me. And he takes me and he sits me in this cubicle. And I'm sitting in this cubicle. He's very nice, but very firm. And I'm sitting in this cubicle. And he says to me, I'll be back in a few minutes. I have to speak to my supervisor. And right now in my mind is playing the scenario, there goes my first trip to England. I'm going to be put back on the plane and shipped back to Eretz Yisrael because I don't have some kind of visa that they're requiring me to have. And the whole thing's going to get messed up. And all because I didn't keep my big mouth shut. And I have to say that it's a little of both. And I'm sitting there and waiting and thinking to myself, what a big chil Hashem, here I am. Dressed the way I am, people are watching me sitting in this cubicle. They have no idea why I'm here. They probably think, who knows what I'm trying to do. What?
You should have pulled out the bomb. So
I'm just sitting there waiting. I took out a safer. A few minutes later, he called me over. He said, I'm sorry, it's going to be another few minutes. But don't worry, everything's going to be okay. So I thought to myself, I wonder what that means. Anyway, the whole time I'm waiting, basically, and just wondering what's going to happen. Finally, he comes back. He says, it's all okay. We fixed it all up. You should just know in the future that you should get a letter from the congregation you're speaking at. I've gotten you a visa, a work visa. I said, well, do I have to pay any type of tax? He says, no. I said, do I have to declare? If they end up paying me something, do I have to declare it? No. So I said to him, just out of curiosity, if you don't pay any tax on it, you don't have to declare it, why go through? He said, that's my job. You do your job and tell me the truth. And I do my job and do what I'm supposed to do. I said, he says, and I thank you, by the way, for telling me the truth. Not everybody would have done that. Then he takes out this stamp. He stamps my passport with a special work visa. and I go through, and everything was Baruch Hashem okay, and I had a great time, and Baruch Hashem. And I was thinking to myself, why am I telling you this story? I was thinking to myself that Rosh Hashanah is coming, and we know Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Mesim, all the Sfarim are open, and we're all waiting, stamp. You know, sitting there waiting, wondering what's going to be, what type of stamp. And the only difference is I had no control over what stamp I was going to get. But we have the opportunity now to make every difference to what type of stamp and which type of book we're going to get. It's all up to us. You know, they'd say a joke that they go into the doctor, and the doctor said, listen, I need to prescribe a vitamin for you. So what type of vitamin? You need a lot of vitamin B. So if you want to do tshuva, you need a lot of vitamin. What is vitamin B for tshuva? You have to know, talui ela B. You have to know, when it comes to tshuva, it's only up to you. It's not up to anybody else. It's not up to your neighbors, and it's not up to your spouse, and it's not up to your kids, and it's not up to your rebbeim. It's only up to you. There's nobody else that can do tshuva for you. So, with that introduction, let's speak a little bit. There's a story about the Nesiv Shalom. A lot of the stories I'm going to say, I'm not going to credit each one. A lot of the material I'm going to say over stories and Mishalim are from Rabbi Meir Biderman. I don't know if you've heard of him. Rabbi Meir Biderman is one of the Lelever Rebbe's relatives. He's a very famous Hasidic Mishpia in today's generation. He has some wonderful Parsha sheets in Lashon Kodesh, which I recommend. If you want to speak to me afterwards, I'll be happy to email you the address where you can get them, but then you'll know all my material, where it comes from. No, I'm just kidding. But you'll enjoy them immensely if you have the time to go through them. So one of the stories he brings down is a story about the Nesivas Shalom. The Nesivas Shalom had a dream before the Yom Nerayim, and he dreamt that all of Elul had passed and all of Rosh Hashanah had passed, and that he had done nothing. And all the Yom Nerayim had passed, and he hadn't done anything. And when he woke up, he was so relieved, because now the opportunity hadn't passed him by. So we're holding right before Rosh Hashanah. We didn't have such a dream, but I'm telling it to you. The opportunity hasn't passed us by yet. We have the opportunity to seize the moment, as they say, and to do tshuva, and to do tefillah, and to do tzedakah, and to do it properly, and to do it the right way. And then we can get that stamp that when we're looking for us and for our families, it's Shem for our kehillah, for Klal Yisrael. So let's talk about, we're still in Chodesh Elul. Let's talk a little bit about Chodesh Elul. So Chodesh Elul, usually in the yeshiva world and in the Chassidish world also, it conjures up certain types of imagery for people. And that imagery, somewhere, yeah, make room for the our Chashavah guests. There's a lot of more seats, so. What?
That's
exactly the same. No. So Chodesh Elul, for a lot of people, conjures up imagery of pachad, of moira. Right? We just said in Slichus, Zoychalim v're'adim miyom b'yacha. We're all literally crawling and full of fear and awe from the time of Kadosh Baruch Hu's coming. Elul, they used to say about the Bali Musar, that they used to get so scared. They said, what is Elul? Is it a bear? What are you so scared of? Is it a bear? So they said, no, it's much scarier than a bear. So Elul can be a time that we are scared, a time of fear, because Yom HaDin is coming, and rightfully so, if you realize what it means, a judgment, if a person had a Basar V'dam judgment coming up. So obviously, sometimes it's a bit scary. But in Chassidus, we find that Elul is also referred to in different ways. So some of the Rosh HaTevis of Elul you've heard of, but this one, I'm not sure you've heard of it before. In Yiddish, we say Elul is Rosh HaTevis Lebedik and Weiter Lebedik, happy and happier. So how does that shtim with each other? How do they go? We know that the Pasuk says, Ivdu es Hashem besimcha, you should serve Hashem out of joy. But there's another Pasuk that says, Ivdu es Hashem beyira, serve God out of fear. And that Pasuk says, Vigilu beraada, you should rejoice, you should have gil, you should have happiness and simcha in the ra'ada, in the fear itself. By God, the two things aren't opposites. Having awe and fear of Hashem is not a stira, is not an opposite to simcha. They can go together. And the reason that they can go together is because the yira, the awe that we have from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should rejoice in that yira. Because when we have true yiras Hashem, true yiras Shemayim, and we understand what it means to have the fear and awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that will bring us to do tshuva. And tshuva mitoch simcha, the joy and the happiness that we feel during tshuva, should bring us closer to Hashem. And when we come closer to Hashem, that's what the Gemara says to us about Yom Kippur, right? There were no greater Yom Tovim than two Bav in Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is one of the greatest Yom Tovim. Why? So we say Yom Kippur, Yom Slicha Mechirahu. It's a time of forgiving. It's a time of opening up a brand new sheet, a brand new slate, starting fresh, starting new. It's a new opportunity. It's a time when we're cleansed, when we're naki, when we come out completely rain, completely, you know, and we're able to come to Kadosh Baruch Hu with a brand new opportunity. So let me share some new ideas with you about Elul, besides the one we just said. So another Rosh HaTevis for Elul that you may have heard of was Umar Hashem Es Levavcha Ve Es Levav Zarecha. Es Levavcha Ve Es Levav Zarecha. That's Rosh HaTevis Elul. Why? What does that have to do with Elul? So we know that every person has what's called an Orlas Halev. Our hearts have something on top of it, also called an orla. Orla means, Rashi says in Pasuk, the orla means satum, atum. It means closed up. The heart can be closed up in a way that we have to make a bris on the heart, open it up. So they say, Marshall, that there was a psychiatric institution, you know, a home for crazy people. And they brought somebody on the tour to explain to them how do they decide, you know, the psychiatric ward has many different places where they can keep people who are low in or they're not well. So there's different levels of how unwell you be. And based upon, unfortunately, how unwell you are, that's where they put these people. So they say, how do they decide? So he says, we have a wonderful shita. It's unique. We're going to patent it one day. So we take a big bathtub and we close the door and we fill the bathtub up with water and we put different size kalim, different size vessels. And we ask the person, go ahead, empty out the bathtub. And based upon what vessels he uses, that's where we decide where to put him. So the guy says, that's ingenious, I never thought of it. So they put him in the room, this guy, and he looks at the bathtub, he's looking at the different vessels available. And so the proprietor, the guy who runs the place, says to him, well, which vessel would you use? He starts looking around, finally he picks the largest one, and he says, I would use this big one. He says, I think we have to put you here too. He says, because the bathtub has a plug, you just open up the plug and everything comes out. Is if you have a little seichel, that's what you. These people never, they're not well. So they start using cups and. But you, if you have some seichel, why don't you unplug the bathtub and everything will come out? That's the same thing with Chodesh Elul. Amar Hashem es levavcha ves levav zarecha. Hashem should do a mila, should open up our hearts, nebuch, our atum, they're satum, they're closed up, they're stocked up with all kinds of stuff. And they're full of Avas Hashem, and Avas Yisrael, and Tshuva, all the wonderful midas that a person has, his heart is full of them. A Jewish heart is always full of these things. There's no shaila that it's not empty. The only thing necessary is to open it up, to open up that plug, and as soon as you unplug, everything comes pouring out. That's one of the messages of Chodesh El. Another Rosh Tevis for El, which I'm sure you've heard, is Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li. That's not a message of fear. It's not a message of pachad. Ani L'doidi, doidi is my most beloved. Hashem is our most beloved. V'doy dili, and Hashem is beloved to us, and we are beloved to Him. We belong to each other. The Mizritch Magid from Chabad, they're very fond of saying this mashal, Hamelech Basadeh, that Chodesh El is a time that the king is out in the field. Usually the king is in his armon, in his huge palace. There's a different mashal brought in the Noam Elimelech. I believe it's in Parshas V'yeshiv. Also from the Mizritch Magid. The Mizritch Magid asks Akasha, the Remelech brings it down, he cites it, he says, why is it sometimes when you're in Paltrin Shel Melech, like when you're here in Eretz Yisrael, you don't feel the same type of closeness to Kadosh Baruch Hu that you do in Chutz La'aretz? The Rebbe Melech says it in a different way. He says, why is it in previous generations there was a lot of nevuah, and today's generation there isn't so much? Why is it in the past that we had nevi'im and today we don't have? But today instead we have Ruach HaKodesh, we have Tzadikim. So how is it that in previous generations, Nevi'im, they were an elite group? And now we know there's Ba'alei Ruach HaKodesh, Baruch Hashem. I don't have any left in our generation, but in previous generations, we knew there were a lot of Rebbes. There were Bavis, they were well known as Ba'alei Ruach HaKodesh. How could it be? Isn't Nevuah such a high thing? If that ended, how could there be Ba'alei Ruach HaKodesh in this generation? wasn't it a higher generation before? Same question. How could it be that sometimes when you're in Eretz Yisrael you feel distant from Hashem, you go somewhere to Chutz La'aretz, some place where there's like no Jews, and all of a sudden you feel some connection? How could that be? So the answer is, this concept of Hamelach Basada, the king is in the field. When Hashem is in Paltrin Shemech, Eretz Yisrael is known as Paltrin Shemech. Eretz Yisrael is known as the king's domain, the king's palace. When the king is sitting on his throne in his palace, he's surrounded by ministers, he's surrounded by guards, he's surrounded by many people. To get an audience with the king is almost impossible. You have to be a high dignitary, to be a chashuv person. And then, even then, if you get an audience, so it's at a specific time, and how much time do you have already, and you have to go through all these different groups of sarim, all these different people. And how could it be that eventually you'll see the king? Maybe it'll be for a few minutes. How long could the audience possibly be? Then, what happens? When the king travels, when the king goes into his coach and he travels, and he's off, so eventually he reaches a certain destination. In that town where the king reaches that destination, so not everybody knows him. So as soon as he reaches that town, he has his followers, his people, and he stays by one of them, and then you can get an audience with the king. It's totally different because he's not surrounded. He's not in his palace. He's not on his throne. He's not surrounded by ministers. He's not surrounded by dignitaries. You can have a much close personal relationship, a much closer audience with the king. Hamelach Basad, the king is in the field. When the king is in the field, we have a closeness, a nir, a doidi, a doidi li, of choy deshel, that's different than this concept of pachad and yira. Kirvas Hashem. So now, we spoke a little bit about the concept of elul. Let's speak a little bit about the concept of tshuva. Right, what does tshuva mean? Tshuva means to return. Right? Once we were close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every Jew is close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And sometimes a person does things that aren't Beseder, they're not 100% okay, and it causes them to become a bit distant from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But we know that there's a halacha, that there is a concept of tshuva to bring us back to Hashem. We can come back. So let me ask you a question. I don't know if you ever learned Hilchos Tshuva from the Rambam. There's a very nice minig, and I recommend it if you have the time and you have the ability. There's 10 prokim, there's 10 chapters in Hilchos Tshuva from the Rambam, and there are Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and there are 10 days to do tshuva. So if you have the ability and the time to go through any of the Rambam, even in one halacha per day from one of the prokim, or if kol shekhen, if you do a whole perek during each one of the days, it's a very nice thing to be able to go through Hilchos Tshuva during Aseres Yemei Tshuva. But if you look at something very interesting, everybody knows there's a well-known Rambam. The Rambam describes the shofar. The Rambam says about the shofar that even though Gzeres HaMelech, it's a every halacha, every mitzvah we have is Gzeres HaMelech, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us to do a mitzvah, and we do it. But Shofar has a remez, has a special hint about it. Uri Yesheni Mitar Damaschem, wake up, the Shofar is a wake-up call. It's a very well-known Rambam. You would think that that Rambam would be found in Hilchos Shofar, but it's not. It's found in Hilchos Tshuva. So anybody who's ever learned with the Briskers knows that when we study Rambam, when we study any of the Rishonim, but especially the Rambam, we study it and we look at the Rambam Sefer Yad HaChazakah, the Mishnah Torah, as a very, very well-ordered and well-structured book. The Sefer Yad HaChazakah, Mishnah Torah, is set in a specific order with specific chapters and specific mitzvahs and specific halachas. And even the juxtaposition or the placing of one halacha or one concept in one place as opposed to another has a lot to teach us. So what can we learn from the idea that the Rambam put the concept of what the shofar symbolizes to as a wake-up call? Why did he stick it? Why did he write it down and put it in Hilchos Tshuva? Why didn't he put it in Hilchos Shofar? So I thought one idea that we could think about might be that we have certain mitzvahs and we have certain kalim, certain things that we do those mitzvahs with. In Brisker thought, we call it a cheftza shel mitzvah. Certain mitzvahs have a certain object which you use to perform that mitzvah. For example, when you say Kiddush, the cheftza shel mitzvah is the wine. You need the wine as part of the Kiddush. You could say Kiddush without the wine, right? You say Kiddush in davening, we say Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadosh Shabbos. You could say Kiddush on challah, the challah will become the cheftza shel mitzvah, the object of the mitzvah. You know, Shem Sukkos is coming, we're going to meet Hashem, shake the lulav and the esrog. That's going to be the cheftza shel mitzvah, that's the cheftza of the mitzvah that we're going to perform the mitzvah with the lulav and the esrog. So perhaps we could say that there's a mitzvah to do tshuva. So what's the cheftza shel mitzvah of doing tshuva? What object? So perhaps the shofar is one of the cheftza shel mitzvahs of doing tshuva. Just like tshuva is something that we do within ourselves, but there could be an object, an external object that helps us do tshuva. That's the shofar. That's the wake-up call of the shofar. Either way, the shofar has that ability to wake us up and remind us the Chodesh El is coming. So, in a lot of shuls, they have, I don't know if you've gone to a shtiblach or a public shul where they have on mazganim, on the air conditioners, they have these devices where they want you to pay money because they don't want you to take advantage of the air conditioning without paying anything because it's a public place and so many people are coming. So they figured out, listen, everything costs us money, including the electricity, and air conditioning takes up a lot of electricity. If we create a little device, we have the air conditioner, put a few shekels, and then, so everybody who's ever used this machine knows, when you put in a few shekels in the machine, so it costs, I don't know, 3, 5, 6 shekel, whatever it costs to start the first hour of the air conditioning. As the air conditioning's going, if you want to add money, you could add even a half shekel coin, you could add sometimes 10 agorot. To keep the air conditioning going, you can add a little bit. And as soon as the time is up, 2 minutes before, you get a warning. And it starts beeping. It's really annoying, especially in the middle of davening. And that's the idea. The idea is annoy you to stick money in the thing. It starts beeping and beeping and beeping, and it wants you to put in money in the meter. And it's beeping, and 2 minutes countdown. Once that 2 minutes is up, if you want to restart, you can't just put in 10 agorot or half a shekel. You got to put in the whole amount all over again. So basically, the shofar is that ringing. Our year is almost up. And our time is almost up. And Chodesh El comes and we start blowing shofar. And it starts ringing and it's telling us, wake up, your time is almost out. If you take and seize this opportunity now during Chodesh El to do tshuva, so you can do so much more during Chodesh El, right before Rosh Hashanah, even a little Kabbalah, even a little amount of tshuva, even one small ma'aseh, has a lot of value during this time. Even like a 10 agorot coin lahavdi, like a 50 agorot, a half a shekel. But once the time is up, once it stops ringing, once Chodesh El is over and Rosh Hashanah comes and the year is over, so you could do tshuva all year long. Tshuva is a mitzvah that shaykh all year. Any day of the year, shaykh to do tshuva. But that small Kabbalah, that small act, that small thing you can do that's worth so much during this time, it's much more expensive during the rest of the year. To start it up again, it's going to take much more. So now it's the time to seize the opportunity and do some, take us even a small Kabbalah, something that we can do and we can offer and we can see. So another thing that tshuva does for us is it gives us the opportunity to be reborn, to be a new person, totally different. They tell a story over about the Ratzan Zeruah, about the Divrei Chaim, that there was a Yid, there was a Jew, a Hungarian Jew, who had a business. You know, back then in Europe, you couldn't be usher. A Jew had to be a bit crooked, because all the different gzeris that there were, all the different taxes, the mishigan, things that the goyim did, it was almost impossible to live usher. You had to find some way to make a living. So this Jew's job was to be a peddler. And how did he make a living? He would take stuff across the border illegally. He would hide it, he would this, he would that. He would find ways to bring stuff across the border, stuff that was illegal, contraband, and he would sell it. And one day he got caught, red-handed. And they threw the book at him, and they told him, you're going to jail for a very, very long time. So what does a chassid do when they tell him something like that? He runs straight to the Rebbe. And he started crying, Rebbe, save me. What am I going to do? They're going to throw the book at me. They're going to lock me up and throw away the key. So Divrei Chaim said to him, I give you a bracha, don't worry. Go back to the court and just present yourself. Everything will go fine. Okay? The Rebbe said, so he did it. Chassid does what the Rebbe tells him. He walks in, sits down, and the judge turns to him and says to him, are you Khan? Are you Mr. Khan? He says, yeah, my name is Cohen. He says, no, I asked you a question. I said, are you Mr. Khan? He says, yeah, I'm the person, yeah, but my name isn't Khan, it's Cohen. He says, look, I have a file in front of me for Mr. Khan. Are you Mr. Khan or not? He says, no, my name is Mr. Cohen. He says, then what are you doing here? He says, yelling at the litigant, what are you bringing me this isn't the right person. I need Mr. Khan. Take this person, take him out of the courtroom and bring me Mr. Khan. Kid said, this guy went home. And what's the mashal? Is tshuva has the ability to change us, to make us somebody different, to make us not the same person. And once a person does tshuva and changes himself, he is not the same person anymore. Whatever decrees, whatever gzeris, whatever stamp a person got, that was for Kan. But if you're Kohen, it doesn't apply. Tshuva has that ability. They say a story about Reb Baruch Ber, that Nebuch, he had a relative that was very sick, and he davened and he tried, and the person was nifter, and he blamed himself, and he was tzebrochen. And he was so tzebrochen, they feared for his health. And the Chafetz Chaim took him, and he spoke to him, and he spoke to him, and he convinced him, and the words used was over and over again, "Stazayin anaya baruch ber, you'll be a new person, a new baruch ber, a new beginning." And that woke him up, and that gave him the ability to go on. This is to realize that he can be a new baruch ber, he can be a new person. That's the ability that tshuva has, to change us, to make us different, to make us reborn as a different person. They say that the Slonimer, the Soida Avoida, the one time he feared Tish, he set up his table and the Chassidim came to partake of the meal like we do. It was Shabbos Kodesh, and they were all sitting by the Tish. And there was one Jew there, and he asked him, "You know, where you live over there, I heard that you were traveling, you were taking the donkey, and you were going on the way. And somebody told me that on the way the donkey was very stubborn and he gave you a good kick and he knocked you off. So what did you do?" He said, "Well, I got back up on the donkey." He said, "But then I heard that you fell off again." He said, "Yeah." So he said, "So what did you do?" He said, "Well, I got back up on the donkey and we continued on the way." He said, "But then somebody told me that the donkey gave you a very good kick and he dropped you and you fell right into the mud. So what did you do?" So the Rebbe says, "Rebbe, I told you, I got up. What did I have a choice? Is with all the mud on you?" He said, "Yeah, I got up and I went on, but you were all dirty." He said, "Rebbe, what did you want me to do? Do you want me to just lie there in the mud? What was I supposed to do? Of course I got up. Mud or not. I mean, I had a business proposition to do. I had things to do. I was dirty. I don't know what, but what was I going to do? Lie there in the mud? How would that have helped me?" So the Rebbe got very excited. He got up and he said, "That's tshuva." "So what do you think? That you fell off? Once, twice, a few times. You fell in the mud. You got dirty. You got filthy. But what are you going to do? You're going to lie there in the mud? Pick yourself up. Pick yourself up and keep..." That's tshuva. That's how we do tshuva. The power of tshuva is pick yourself up no matter where you are. Even if you're lying in the mud, clean yourself off. Do tshuva and keep going. Because what are you going to do? What do you expect me to do? Is I want to sit there and lie there in the mud? How is that going to help? So one of the things we can do during Chodesh El, we spoke about taking on things, Kabbalas. So the Tzemach Tzedek says, what is the Kabbalas? What are the things that we accept upon ourselves in Chodesh El? He said, Kabbalah Ktana, every Klein Shkul, every small little Kabbalah you can accept upon yourself, is a Malbush Chadosh, L'Nefesh HaChadosh, L'Shana HaChadosha. It's a new garment, a new malbush for the new neshama that you're making for yourself during Chodesh Elul for the new year. That's what the Kabbalas we can do, that we can take on. So, some of the Kabbalas that a person could take on, we'll discuss in a minute, but I wanted to just digress a bit and go on to the next topic of Tefillah. So let me ask you a question. I don't know if you ever noticed, we call our apex of davening, the Amida, the Shemoneh Esrei, that is tefillah. When we say tefillah, that's what we're referring to. Did you ever notice that of all the nuschos, of all the ways you could have written a tefillah, and we have other tefillahs, Shemoneh Esrei is made up of brachos. I mean, they're not exactly the same. We have a concept of brachos. You open up the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah, you'll see there's Hilchos brachos. In the Gemara, there's a whole section that discusses brachas. We know what brachas are. We make brachas. You make a bracha before you eat. You make a bracha after you eat. You make a bracha over smelling things. You make a bracha over seeing things and hearing. There's brachas over events, brachas over mitzvahs. Why is tefillah made up of brachas? We could have made a tefillah that's not made of brachas. Why is every part of the tefillah made up of a bracha? So one of the reasons, one of the answers, the Baal HaTanya says in Tanya, he says it specifically about Tzlach Lanu, but it's true about every single one of the brachos, if you think about it. The Baal HaTanya says, how do we dare, How do we have the audacity, the oyus, to say the bracha, to say the tefillah of Slach Lanu? What do we say? Slach Lanu, we make a bracha, we say a bracha to Hashem, b'shem u'malchus, we mention God's name, because you will forgive us. How do we know that's true? I mean, maybe Chas Shalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't forgive us. And then it would be Chas Shalom a bracha levatah. You can't say stama bracha. You can't just, say a bracha. If you're saying God's name, we know that if you make a bracha without what you're supposed to have, it's a bracha levatah. There's a famous mashal say from Ritzlik Berditchever that once a boy and his friend had an apple and he wanted that apple really badly, but his friend didn't want to give it to him. But they were really frum kids. So he went up to his friend and he said, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam Boreh Pri Ha'etz. So the boy didn't. He didn't want to machshir his friend in a bracha levatal. So he had to cut up the apple and give him a piece. So we do the same thing to Kadosh Baruch Hu. We say Kadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Ata Hashem Chanam Rabbah Mesleach. It can't be a bracha levatal. Hashem won't let us make a bracha levatal. So he has to give us slicha. He has to forgive us. He has no choice. We've got him cornered, so to speak. And that's true, if you think about it, by every one of the brachas that we say in Shemoneh Esrei. Every single thing we ask for, it must be that a Kadosh Baruch Hu will give it to us. Because Chas V'Shalom, if he doesn't, it's a bracha levatala. We've asked a Kadosh Baruch Hu for das, we've asked him for tshuva, we've asked him for slicha, we've asked him shema tira, to hear our prayers, we've asked him for refuah shlema to heal us. Everything we ask Kadosh Baruch Hu, we ask it b'loshen bracha. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu will not let our brachos be a bracha levatala. And therefore, it must be the Kadosh Baruch Hu will answer us. It may not be the answer the way we're thinking. That's a different sicha, how it works when we dive and we ask something and we may not understand how we're getting or not getting. That's a different sicha for a different time. But the idea is, we ask Kadosh Baruch Hu and he must give it to us. And that's one of the reasons that the tefillah is set up in that way. So when we ask Kadosh Baruch Hu for slicha and we ask him for tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu must reply yes. He must answer our brachas. We'll share with you some ideas about tefillah, some things that I found that were very inspiring. So Melech Biderman, we said that I'm going to share with you some of the teachings that he has. He brings down from many different tzaddikim. He asks, why is Shemoneh Esrei, why do we call it Amida? Why do we call it Amida? So the obvious, simple, pshat answer is because we're standing. It's one of the tefillahs that we have to recite while standing. But there's a deeper meaning. So this is, Fasema says that there's two different types of creatures. There are malachim, angels, and there are people, human beings. An angel is called an oimid. It says in Pasuk in Navi, V'nasati racham mahalachim ben ha'oimdim ma'ela. I've given you a way to walk between these standing beings. That refers to the angels. The angels are called standing. Why is that? Because a person has the ability to rise from spiritual level to spiritual level, has the ability to go from darga to darga, higher and higher. And an angel has one tafkid and one job. That's why an angel has only one name. His name signifies his job and his position, and he can't change it. He has only one shlichus. He can't rise to a higher level. That's where he is, that's where he stays. He's called an oimid. Says the Sasemes, when a person davens, he's davening tefillas hamida, because when you daven, you're on the madriga of a malach. When a person speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he rises up to the madriga of a malach. And when a person davens to Hashem and he prays and he says the words of tefillah, he becomes an oimid. At that moment, he puts his feet together and he becomes a malach. He says that's also why we can understand that when we have a mitzvah, that you're not allowed to sit next to a person who's davening. Why do we have such a halacha that when a person's davening, you're not allowed to sit next to them? He says because when a person is davening, they're on such a high madriga that their tefillah is like that of a malach. It's also like that of a korban, that when a person's praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when a person's davening, it's mamish like he's standing in the Beis HaMikdash, it's mamish, and you're not allowed to sit in the Beis HaMikdash. So if you're not allowed to sit, and a person's standing in that, and he's in that place, you're also not allowed to sit next to him. This is from the Vilna Gaon. He says, when a person's praying to Hashem, you have to realize that at that moment, it's like a person standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, panim el panim. And that's why when we pray, we say brachas, we say b'loshon noichach, Baruch Atah Hashem. We're not saying Baruch Hashem El Kenim Ha'Avi, like the rest of the bracha is Baruch Nistar, is third person. We're speaking about somebody else. But when we say a bracha, we're saying Baruch Ata Hashem, blessed are you. When you say to someone you, it's because they're in front of you. It's because you're talking to them. When you say about somebody else, so you refer to them in third person. But when you speak to somebody, Panim El Panim, you don't say him, you say you. And when we pray, when we daven, when we say Tefillas Shemoneh Esrei, when we say the Amidah, it's made of brachas, Baruch Ata, it's Panim El Panim, it's standing before Hashem and speaking to him. If we said from the Taz that it's like the Beis HaMikdash, the Taz Paskins in Hilchas Tefillah, he says that when a Jew pours out his heart before Hashem, it's like a Makam HaMikdash, and that's why you can't sit there. So, the Tefillos of Rosh Hashanah have an even greater significance. You know, the Tefillos of Rosh Hashanah are made up of Malchios, Zichroinos, and Shoifres. So, the Lashon of the Gemara is that Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Imru Lufanai, say before me, Malchios, Zichroinos, and Shoifres. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm asking you to say these things before me. So says Dora Meir, Ein lecha chich masok mizeh. There's nothing sweeter than this idea. Sheha'adon Hashem tzvakus, bikesh kazos miyadino. Kadosh Baruch Hu asked of us, say to me, Dan, I'm asking you, I'm waiting for your tefillah. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, each and every one of us, I'm waiting for you to pray to me and say to me, Malchios, Zichronos, and Shoifres, I want to give you a good year. I want to give you a good gzar din. I'm asking you, I'm telling you how it is that I want you to do that for me. I'm giving you the formula. What could be sweeter than that? That Kadosh Baruch Hu telling us exactly what he wants from us in order to give it to us. If you ever notice, the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah are full of melech. Melech, melech. Aseres me'atshuva, we're going to start saying about the melech. All through Yom Kippur, melech, melech. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the king, the king, the king. And all the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah are full of Meloichal kol ha'olam bichvudecha. Hashem, you should be the king over the whole world and over the whole universe and over all the creatures. Say that Chassidish Sfarim, the Sfasema says, don't forget that the Sfarim say ha'adam olam katan, that man is called a small microcosm of the universe. And when we dive into Hashem and say Meloichal kol ha'olam bichvudecha, that you should be king and reign over the whole world, we're also asking a Kadosh Baruch Hu to be king over us. And it says, I think it says about the which Rebbe was it? About the Kotzker, I believe. Although I've heard it about other Rebbes, that they said that when I was younger, I wanted to change the whole world. And then I grew older, I realized that I couldn't do that. So I decided that I'm going to change the entire nation where I live in, the whole state. And then I realized that I can't do that. And I said, I'll do the whole city. And then as I grew older, I realized that I won't be able to matzliach do that. I said, I'll change my congregation, my kehillah, or my chassidus. And that didn't go. And I said, I changed my family. Finally, I said, at least I'll try and change myself. So that's the shot of Rosh Hashanah. When we're davening, we're not holding there yet, right? There's so many people out there in the world that have no concept of what it means Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kosh cannot have Klal Yisrael or their place in the world. And with all the stuff that's going on in the news, I'm sure you know, not everybody has realized the true consciousness of what it means that there's Am Yisrael, that there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a bit, how are you asking Meloch HaKol Arts V'Chadel Hashem, be king over the whole world? So I think the answer is partially what we just said. That even though we do have to daven, that Kadosh Baruch Hu will reveal himself to the whole world, but first, we have to realize, we have to have Kadosh Baruch Hu reveal himself to us. He has to be God over us, over my personal world, over my personal being, over my Olam Katan. And that should be our Iker Bakasha. Even though we should definitely be davening Kadosh Baruch Hu to be Melech HaKol HaAretz, and over the whole world and over the whole of creation. But first, Kadosh Baruch Hu has to be king over us. To make Kadosh Baruch Hu king over us, al atzmenu, shekol adam Yisrael olam katan b'atzmen. Uchfi ma shemekablen al atzmenu, kach nimtza mizeh ha'or l'chol haklal. Because if you succeed in making Kadosh Baruch Hu melech over you, over your olam katan, that projects outward. And that light spreads. Then it will spread in the circumference out from you to your family, from your family, Mirtz Hashem, to your Kehila, from your Kehila to all of Kai Yisrael, all of Kai Yisrael to the whole world. It spreads out in circles of light from that center outwards. But first you have to do it to make a Kadosh Baruch Hu king over yourself. That's maybe one small idea about Malchus. Rabbi Leib Le'Eger, in his Torah Semes, Rabbi Leib Le'Eger was a huge tzaddik. I'll just tell you something short about him to understand the years Shemayim Rabbi Leib Le'Eger had. It says a story about Rabbi Leib Le'Eger that he was once alone in his room, and the Paritz's wife came in. I don't remember the reason why right now, but the Paritz's wife came into the room. He was so busy learning, he didn't notice. Now, the Paritz's wife wasn't used to being ignored, especially because she dressed like a Paritz's wife. And this noble lady walks in, and this young man is sitting there learning, and he's totally ignoring her. So she did her best to get noticed. When Rav Leib Le'Eger looked up and saw who was in his room, he got very worried, because he had never been alone with a woman in his life. Kol Sheken, not the Paritz's wife. And he started looking around, and he realized that the only way out was the door, and she was staying in front of it. And there was no way he was going to be over on the Isser of Yichud, so he jumped out the window. He was on the third story. He was a cripple, I think, for a while. I don't know if the rest of his life or not. But that's the year of Shemayim that Rav Leib Le'Eger had. Rav Leib Le'Eger says in Torah Semes, HaKoyach Shelanu B'chol Yemei Hashana La'amricho Yisborech Noveh M'makor Reishis Hashana. The person has to realize that we want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu the whole year. We want to do good all year long. And that power, that ability to be Malach HaKadosh Baruch Hu all year comes from now, from Rosh Hashanah, from this period of time. If we're successful in making a Kadosh Baruch Hu melech over us during the time of Rosh Hashanah, we will be successful the whole year. Right now we're planting the seeds that we can achieve for the whole year through. But if a person doesn't take this opportunity now, the rest of the year will not be as easy. We spoke about the coil of the shofar. Let's speak about one more idea. I'll just one idea about Zichronius. We didn't mention Zichronius, and I forgot. The Berei Mam Chaim in Shefer Sharat Tfila, he says, Avram Avinu asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu to save Sdom. It's pretty strange when you think about it. Sdom was the bastion, the seat of the most terrible people. When you want to talk about the most horrible people in the world, the worst midos, the worst, you always refer to Sdom. Even in English, the word Sdom, it's like terrible. You can't come worse than that. And this is who Avraham Avinu is asking Kadosh Baruch Hu to save. And in the merit of this many tzaddikim, now eventually going down all the way up to the number 10, we know you couldn't even find that many. It was a terrible place. So the question we have to ask is, why is it that Avraham Avinu said, "Bischus chamishim tzaddikim"? Okay, there's not 50. So 40. Okay, so there's not 40. So 30. Why did he have to go and count down from 50 to 40 to 30? Just ask for 10 right away. And if there's 10, so good. So why is it that Avraham Avinu had to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way? What was it that he was trying to achieve? So the Berei Mam Chaim says, Avraham Avinu had no havin. He didn't think that he could save Sdom by only tzaddikim. He thought you're going to need at least 50. V'shir b'dato yishirak schus chamishin tzaddikim yochol la'azor la'tzalosim. Ach shemitchil l'espar l'Hashem b'kol tfilo tfilo niskarev yoyser Hashem. Every time he opens his mouth to daven, he got closer and closer to Hashem. And every tefillah that Avraham Avinu davened, the Kadosh Baruch Hu also got closer and closer to him. And then Avraham Avinu thought, now that I am closer, and now that Kadosh Baruch Hu is closer to me, perhaps now I'll be able to be poil even with 10 tzaddikim, even with 40, even with 30, even with 10. We know it wasn't matzliach. But that's the kirva that Zichronis brings. Zichronis means remember us. And as we're praying Zichronis, we're trying to get closer and closer and closer to Hashem and bring Him closer and closer and closer to us. the power of the shofar, when we say shofaris, so we mentioned a few things about the shofar, just one more idea, one more story. This famous mice about the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov had a Baal Tekeah named Rav Zevov Kitzis. And Rav Zevov Kitzis was a Baal Tekeah extraordinaire. He was a big tzaddik, and he knew all the kavanas al pi kabbalah for blowing shofar. And he didn't want to forget them, so he took a piece of paper and he wrote down notes. I know what type of panic he was in, because I almost forgot my notes tonight. And he wrote down all of his notes, and when it came time to blow shofar, he couldn't find them. He searched in every pocket, and he searched on the floor, and he couldn't find it. And it's time to blow shofar, and the whole kehillah is waiting for him. And he realized, that's it. The zero hour. He can't hold them up any longer. And he had no choice but to blow with one thing in mind. Hashem, nachas ruach, you know? He was so tzebrochen, the rivers of tears poured from his eyes. He had a totally broken heart. Afterwards, the Baal Shem Tov came to him and said to him, the power of the shofar is the power to open up all the doors in Shemayim. There are all kinds of gates in Shemayim. And the Kabbalistic kavanas are to open up, each one of the kavanas opens up a different gate in Shemayim. But there's a different power that can open up those gates to let the sound of the shofar in. And that's the, you know, you can use keys. Every one of the kavanas is like a key. And if there's a locked gate, you can use the key to open up the lock. But if you don't have the key, you could always use an axe, a hatchet, and break it down. He says, your lev nishbar, your broken heart was like that axe, like that hatchet that broke down the barriers and the gates. And with that, the Kol Shofar was able to enter on that level. So now we'll speak the last concept before we end about Chodesh El. We spoke, we said different Rosh Tevis. One of the Rosh Tevis of Chodesh El is Ish l'ra'ehu u'matanos l'avyoinim. Ish l'ra'ehu aleph lamed u'matanos avav l'avyoinim. That also signifies El. Why? What's Ish l'ra'ehu u'matanos l'avyoinim? Tzedakah. Tshuva u'tfila u'tzedakah. So tzedakah, pashut pshat of giving tzedakah, is to give money. To give tzedakah, to feed the poor and clothe them. What if a person isn't able to do that? What if a person isn't wealthy? What if they don't have a lot of money? What if they can't even feed chas v'shalom their own family? What if they don't have the ability to give that money? What type of tzedakah can they do? So Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva that he writes to Avreichim that they also are mechuyev to give meiser. What type of meiser are they mechuyev to give? A meiser of their time. Even though they sit and learn in kollel and study, they're mechuyev to give the meiser of the time and teach other people. There's a different type of meiser, and that meiser is a different form of tzedakah, and that tzedakah is to give a person of your time, to give a person of yourself. You know, the Chassidus Rebbe used to say that if a person makes another Jew smile, that's also tzedakah. Because what greater thing can you give a Jew than to smile? I mean, Chazal say it. Godel ha'mal ben shini chaveroi v'mashkeu chalav. I believe it's a Gemara in Kedushin. It's greater to make a person smile than to feed him milk. Making a Jew smile, making another person happy, giving him words of chizuk, that's also a form of tzedakah. And it's an unbelievable form of tzedakah that you can do for a different person. You walk into the Beis Midrash and you smile to a different Jew, you ask him how you're doing, you shake his hand. If he's having a rough time, you give him some words of encouragement. You come home, you smile at your wife. You come home, you smile at your husband. How is your day going? If you had a rough time, maybe I can help. Maybe I can come home and do something. I could wash the dishes. I could clean up. I could do something extra that I'm not usually doing. Something to help another person. You know, tzedakah begins at home. You could also do it at home. With your kids, you know, how's school today? Did you have a rough time? Maybe I can help you study for the test. Maybe I can take you somewhere, get you something. You did so well on this test. You did so well on this bechina. Maybe I can get you a little something, a surprise. You know, there's all kinds of tzedakah we can do with other Jews. There's nothing to do with money. And some of that tzedakah is the highest form of meiser, the highest form of tzedakah you can give, especially during this time, during El, during Rosh Hashanah, during this time. So wrapping up for this time, I'll just leave you with three segulas. The Lel of a Rebbe here in Beit Shemesh gave over this year three segulas Now, some people aren't big fans of segulas. They think it's like a rabbit's, like a lucky charm. But these three segulas, no one can have any tainus on them because they come from Chazal. These three segulas are Mamarei Chazal found in the Gemara. And it's mamish, unbelievable, the power of these three segulas, especially during this time. So I'll share them with you. Sorry?
Who was the rabbi in
Beit Shemesh? The Lel of a Rebbe. Yeah. It lives here in the Kiryat. So the first one is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah in Daf Yud Zayin. It's called Hamavir al Midoisav, Mavirin Loy al Kol Pshav. Whoever is Mavir al Midoisav in Shemaim, in heaven, Mida Keneged Mida, what do they do for him? Mavirin Loy al Kol Pshav. What does it mean to be Mavir al Midoisav? It means to be Mevater, to give up, even when you're in the right. So a story about the Rashash, the Birit Makubal, the Rashash from Teman. He had a shul in Yerushalayim. And there was a big mess up. That year, the Gabbai sold the same seat to the two wealthiest people in the Kehillah. What bigger mess up can you have? So the two big Groysa Gvirim come into shul on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and they look at the seating chart, and lo and behold, they have the same seat. So they go over to the Gabbai, there must be some kind of mistake, and the Gabbai says, no, oh, oops. Now all the seats are sold, and these Gabbais paid top dollar, and these Ashirim paid top dollar for this seat. The Gabbai doesn't know what to do. He sold the same seat to two people. He's trying to think of what he could possibly do to make it up. The kids are, on Erev Yontif, they were somehow able to fudge in the Mistadr, you know, because not every shows up. It's, you know, Shachris, the shul is packed, though. They don't know what they're going to do tomorrow. During Marib, they sat one guy in a different chash of a seat, and they did something. But tomorrow, they know sparks are going to fly. What's going to be? That night, one of the Ashirim has a dream. And in his dream, he sees these beautiful white malachim, tall, pushing these carts full of diamonds and gold. And says, what is this? See, these are all the mitzvahs you've done this year. Good? Okay. And there's these two huge scales, and they're piling it all up on top of the scales. And then he sees these disgusting black malachim wearing tatters, ripped clothes, shrouds. And they stink, and they're pushing heaps of garbage. He says, what's that? That's the Averis. And they put it on the scale, and sure enough, Shakul, Muzan, balanced. What's going to tip the scales? And they're about to bang the gavel and pass it, and one of the malachim says, wait, if he's just Mavro Midoisav. He wakes up, he goes, I know what I'm doing. He runs to shul in the morning. Shachris goes up to the Gabbai, he says, I'm a Vater, I give up my seat. He goes, he sits in the back. He had a good year that year, Baruch Hashem. So we're not all zoicha to such a dream, but we're zoicha now to hear this gula. If we give in, if we're mevater, then a Kadosh Baruch Hu will be mevater for us. That's the first gula. The second gula is also Gemara. It's a Gemara in Shabbos, in Daf Kuf Chav Zayin Amid Beis. Kol Amalamid Schus Al Chaveroi, Kadosh Baruch Hu Dan Oysel Kaf Schus, Mida Keneged Mida. The Rosh in the Gemara is Tanur Rabbanan, Adon is chaver kaf schus, don in oisel kaf schus. If you give your friend the benefit of the doubt, if you advocate for your friend, if you find merits for somebody else, they also find merits for you. In Shemayim, they also give you the benefit of the doubt, so to speak. There's a famous story about Rav Osher Anshel, who was a misharis in the house of Rav Herschel Chartkever. And Rav Herschel Chartkever had a certain drawer, and in that drawer he had a lot of money. He was going to marry off his daughter with that money. And one day the money went missing, and Osher Anshel opened up a beautiful new business, and the family was sure it was him. And they accused him, and they told Rav Herschel Chartkever, it must have been Osher Anshel. And he didn't want to believe him, but his family pressured him, until he went there, and he said to him, maybe you know something about the money. Writer of Osher Anshel said, I stole it, I did it, I'm so sorry. I can't give it back to you right now, I'll give it back to you in payments. So he started paying it off. A few weeks later, a certain goy went into the local tavern and he got really drunk with a bunch of his friends and he paid with a big gold coin. And this happened 2 weeks, 3 weeks in a row, and the bartender got really suspicious. How is this goy paying for so much liquor with golden coins all the time? Where do you get it? I found it. Yeah, right. So he decided to give him a little extra on the tab. It got him really drunk one night. And he got the whole story out of him. Yeah, my wife works in the house of the rabbi and she stole all this money. I had it buried under some tree. So he called the police and he called up the sheriff and they arrested him and his wife and they found the money. and they returned it to Rav Herschel at Chartkever. And Rav Herschel at Chartkever realized it was not Asher Anshul. And he went and he asked him, why did you do this? And he said, I saw that the Rebbe lost and I felt bad. He says, you know, I wasn't Daniel Chavschus, so instead I give you a bracha that you were soivel all this, that you should be wealthy for all generations. And according to the story, that was the Rothschild family, the Rothschilds. Asher Anshul Rothschild, the first one. Being Daniel Chavschus, finding the ability to be Daniel Chavschus, has the ability to be Dan Osler Chavschus. What's the third segula? Kol ha-meracham al ha-briyos, merach min olav min ha-shamayim. It's a Gemara in Shabbos in Kuf Nun Aleph. If you have rachmanis over other people, over brios, over other creatures, kol shekem people, right? If you have rachmanis over creatures, kol shekem people, right? If you have rachmanis over them, then they have rachmanis over you in shamayim also. So says the Lev Rebbe, merachem in the Targum, in the Lashon Arami, also means ahava. Racha means ahava. To love Jews, to love other Jews, and find a schus to them, and love them, and care for them. Notice that each one of these segulas is a mitzvah ben adam l'chaveiro. If we are zoiche to do even one of these three segulas before Yom HaDin, Hashem should help that we will be zoiche to take upon ourselves one of these kabbalas. I mentioned in the beginning that we should take upon ourselves a kabbalah. I think that these kabbalas will not be too difficult for us. To find a schus for somebody else, to love a different Jew, to give us of ourselves to a different Jew, to be mevater on something. Baruch Hu should help that if we are successful in doing even one of these three things, Hashem should help us. We should have a good year, a ksiva v'chasim etoiva, and in Yirtzeh Hashem will do tshuva mitoch ahava, mitoch simcha, come out as a new person, and it will be the beginning of a brand new year. The old year will end with all of its kolos, the new year will begin with all of its brachas. Hashem should help the Yirtzeh Hashem. We will all be zoiche to a ksiva v'chasim etoiva. Thank you very much.